الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن أول بيت وضع للناس للذي ببكة مبارك وهدى للعالمين، فيه آيات بينات مقام إبراهيم، ومن دخله كان آمنا، فلله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا، ومن كفر فإن الله غني عن العالمين. قال الصحابة رضي الله تعالى عنهم: يا رسول الله، ما هذه الأضاحي؟ قال: سنة أبيكم إبراهيم، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Our very foundation of our deen and the most important fact is, matter is, the kalima La ilaha illallah. And this is very necessary that we repeat it very often. At one sitting, at least once a day, 100 times we should repeat it. And we should ponder in the meaning also. Our Shaykh Jazahumullah Khair explained, the first part of the kalima is first negation. La ilaha is the negative, not the positive. In other words, first clean your heart. Take out all the negative things. That is, nobody, nothing, everything, everyone can do nothing whatsoever. Nobody has got any power whatsoever. No system has got any power whatsoever. Not the majority can do anything, not the minority, not the rich, not the poor, not the man, not the woman, not the governments, not the public. Nobody has got any power. Science or anything, we must negate. All that must come out of our hearts. Must not have my money can do for me, my house can protect me, my family, my friends will protect me. Everything must be negated. Any and everything must be negated. And in that way we should read the kalima 100 times. When we say La ilaha, clean the heart of everything. Nothing must be in there. Illallah, only Allah. Allah is everything. Nobody stands by me. Allah is there. I've got everything. I haven't got a cent, but I've got Allah. I've got everything. Everyone hates me, but Allah loves me. I've got everything. That illallah must come in our heart. That is a mu'min who hasn't got anything be of the dunya, of anything in his heart, not even the love of Jannat, but only Allah. That is all. Allah is everything. Everyone else's love also must be taken out. Whoever Allah tells us to love, we love those people. Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Sahaba Kiram radiallahu ta'ala anhum, our family, and that family as long as they are in the obedience of Allah. So whatever Allah's commands are, only that we love. So this kalima must be recited, and the yaqeen must come in it, and that Allah is the one, only one who can do all our things, and that is when we are obedient to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. We see that Fir'aun, what infrastructure he had, what a country he had, all the buildings, everything, the wealth, the power he had. In fact, he said that وَهَذِي الْأَنْهَارُ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِي, that the rivers of Rijab also flow by my command. And it appeared like that. And for a long time it appeared all like that. But finally Allah Ta'ala showed when he disobeyed Allah and he did not believe, and how much respite and time Allah gave him to make Tawbah. But he did not make Tawbah. Then Allah Ta'ala showed that Allah destroyed him. His dunya was destroyed. His akhirat was destroyed. All the people who followed him, who were his followers, they were all destroyed. So only Allah can do our things, nobody else. On the other hand, the Bani Israel had nothing. They were downtrodden. They were treated worse than animals, worse than rubbish they were treated by Firaun. They had nothing whatsoever. Overnight, Allah gave them the whole of Egypt. All that what Firaun had built, ready-made, Allah Ta'ala gave it all to them. When they followed Musa alayhi salam and they obeyed the commands of Allah, Allah gave everything to them. So we also have to realize nobody and nothing and everyone and everything can do nothing, can't do anything, can't do nothing. Only Allah Ta'ala does. That is what is Iman. And we must check ourselves. Is there deficiency in there? There is great deficiency in our Iman. And we are all going in the qabr, and the very first question will be the same question. Of La ilaha illallah, mar rabbuka. Who is the one who created you? Who is the one who controlled your whole system? Who is the one who controlled your life? Who is the one who controlled your eyes, your brain, the flow of your blood in your body, your heart, your lungs, everything? It's not in the medicine, it's not in the doctors, it is only in Allah. So if we read that, and with that we read it 100 times, then inshallah our Iman will start becoming to be made. Otherwise we are in a very, very dangerous situation presently, almost all of us. We are in a very dangerous situation. We believe this one does, that thing does, this has got power, that has got power, and we forget about Allah completely. And just like the atheists have taken Allah completely out of the equation in their beliefs, we in our practical life, we have taken out Allah from the equation. Allah doesn't come into our equation, all the things of this world. The atheists believe that the things of this world do everything. We don't believe that. We deny it. But our practical life shows that we are the same also. So it's very, very important. Allah give us tawfiq to work on our Iman, which is the most important. The ayat-e kareema I've recited. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ بَيْتٌ وُضِعَ لِلنَّاسِ لَلَّذِي بِبَكَّةٍ. The very first house that I have made and presented and placed in on the earth was the house in Makkah, Bakkah. According to some ulama, Bakkah means the Kaaba, the Haram itself. And Makkah is the city of Makkah. For others, they say Makkah and Bakkah are the same things. Like we have Bombay, Mumbai, many places like that, two same words are used for the same place. So some of them, anyway, this was the first place. Then whether it was the very first house or the first house for the worship of Allah Ta'ala. Now it appears that it was the very first house that was placed. And that was to show that this world is for the worship of Allah Ta'ala. And the foundation of the Kaaba Sharif was laid by the Malaika. Allah sent the Malaika to lay the foundation. And how many thousands of years have passed, the foundation is 100% intact. The building, in the time of the floods of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, the building got destroyed, but the foundation still remained also. And the Kaaba Sharif is directly under Baytul Ma'amur. And Baytul Ma'amur is the Kaaba of the Malaika. They make tawaf there. And Baytul Ma'amur is directly under the Arsh of Allah Ta'ala. So Allah's Arsh and Allah's commands go down through Baytul Ma'amur, picking up all the barakat and anwarat from there, and then it comes onto the Kaaba Sharif. And from the Kaaba Sharif, it is distributed to all the masajid in the world. And the people who frequent the masjid, they get their share. And then it is according to what we open our hearts up to. If we come with closed hearts and we are not connected with Kaaba Sharif, then we go empty-handed also. But if we come here with an open heart, we take our full share. And then outside the masjid, we should not destroy it. Talking around, wasting time, go directly to our business, the barakat will go in our business. Go to our homes, the rahmat will go into our homes. Wherever we are, Allah has given us the full share, then take it wherever. So it all comes down there. And it spreads out in the whole world. From the Kaaba Sharif, it spreads out in the whole world. And on the other side again, all the people who make namaz and they face the Kaaba. And from the time of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, he was the Nabi of Allah. He was the chosen servant of Allah Ta'ala. And since then, how many Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, how many great, great, pious, righteous people, ulama, sulaha, who and who are not making namaz, wherever in the world, and everyone is facing the Kaaba. And when they are facing the Kaaba, all that barakat is also going to the Kaaba. From the Kaaba, it is distributed everywhere. And all who are making namaz, and of course the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, the righteous and the pious who made tawaf, until today there are so many righteous, pious people who are still making tawaf, all that barakat are there. And all who are making namaz, their barakat. So if we face and we open our hearts for the barakat of the Kaaba Sharif, we get our full share also. And if we come whole life to the masjid, but we don't even think of facing the Kaaba, we just lift our hands, and that also we don't let our hands face the Kaaba. Our legs, we don't put them facing the Kaaba also. And our hearts are not also towards the Kaaba. Whole life we had this wonderful opportunity of freely, without any other effort from our side, to gain so much, we deprive ourselves. So Allah give us tawfiq that we understand the great value of the Kaaba, the barakat, the anwarat of the Kaaba Sharif. It is the very center of the earth. And as long as the Kaaba will be abad, the tawaf and ibadat will carry on, the whole system of the world will carry on. And when close to Qiyamah, then Kaaba Sharif will also be destroyed. And when the Kaaba Sharif will be destroyed, and Kaaba Sharif is not the building, it is that place, even if there is no building, but then afterwards there will be no tawaf also, there won't be anything. Then the system of the world will go haywire. Then Qiyamah will come. Mountains will start flying like cotton wool. The skies will burst and fall down. And the earth will crack open. And only Allah save what the condition will be at that time. For that, a person who makes ibadat on the nights of Eid, Allah will keep his mind, his composure in place. Otherwise, forget a mad person, we can't describe when those scenes will be there, what will be the condition of the people. Ya ayyuhannasu taqo rabbakum, inna zalzalat as-sa'ati shay'un 'azim, yawma tarawnaha tadhallu kullu murda. On that day, even a woman will just abort their children, not voluntarily. They will just get aborted. People, you will turn nasu sukara. You'll think people are drunk. Wama hum bi sukara, but they won't be drunk. Walakinna adab Allahi shadid. Allah's punishment will be so severe. What the conditions will be? So the Kaaba is so valuable, and Allah has given it to us. We are far, but we when we make niyat in our mind, in our heart, that I'm facing the Kaaba, and open our hearts for all the barakat and all the goodness of Kaaba Sharif. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Inna awwal bayti wudhiya linnas alladhi bi Bakkah mubarakan wa hudan lil alamin. Allah made it full of barakat. Barakat in our worldly life, barakat in our health, barakat in our family life, barakat in our deeni life, in everything. And Allah made it a means of hidayat. Hidayat to show us the right path in everything. For all the time we have to make decisions, to make the right decisions. Those who are connected with the Kaaba, and the barakat and anwarat of Kaaba fills their heart, in all matters they will make the right decisions also. So mubarak wa hudal lil alameen. It is for everyone, all the realms. It isn't only for the Muslims, but as only the Muslims make namaz and face the Kaaba, and only those who open their hearts when they're making namaz, and they for the Kaaba, they get the benefit. It is for everyone, but it is who takes benefit. You have, for example, a grocery shop, a bookshop, any shop you have. It's there for everyone, whoever wants to go and buy. But who will get it? Who go and buy? Those who don't go and buy, who don't go and go, they're not going to get it. It's there for everyone. So this is for everyone. But who will benefit? Those who will take it. How many of us have got any thought of Kaaba when we come? We are facing the Kaaba, but no thought of it. How many of us don't face properly to the Kaaba? Especially our legs, very, very common. When we are in sajda, our hands must be facing the Kaaba. When we lift up our hand, our palms must face the Kaaba. But we don't. And then our hearts must be open. We have to make effort on our namaz that it becomes a namaz. And then we can take all these great, great treasures. Mubarakun wa hudan lil alameen. Fihi ayatun bayyinat. And it isn't a hidden thing. It's the Kaaba and its blessings and its barakat are open. Clear signs they are. And one of the major signs, Maqamu Ibrahim, which is there till today, Maqamu Ibrahim. But how many of us, for many of us, Maqamu Ibrahim is just that beautiful casing that is made with gold and that beautiful glass casing and which is kept so shining and clean all the time. So much atar is splashed on it all the time. For many of us, that is what is Maqam-e Ibrahim. Whereas Maqam-e Ibrahim is that glass which you can see through. And you can see those rocks. And it, for us, it is just rocks. But the footprints of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam are on there. And that rock, that is Maqam-e Ibrahim, not the glass casing. Like today, unfortunately, we are overtaken with ether. With the bottle, the beautiful bottles, people purchase ether more for the bottle, the shape of it and how beautiful, not for the contents. Unfortunately, many of us, our clothes are more for brand names, are more for fashion than the clothing itself. So much so, the half socks, even now in winter, you'll wear half socks. And if it is for clothing, it's to give you warmth in your feet. So you'll wear proper long socks. But everything is upside down. So there also the Maqam-e Ibrahim for us, for many of us, is just the outside casing. Whereas the real is that rock. And more than that, Allah's Qudrat which was on there. That when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam built the Kaaba Sharif, there was no scaffolding he put. There were no hoists and lifts. He stood on there and how high he had to go, it lifted him up. And when he completed that building at that level and came down to take more rock and to build the Kaaba, it came down again. So that is the ayati bayyinat. See the Qudrat of Allah. Allah has kept it. And there are unlimited signs of Allah's Qudrat. You just see all the people who have come from where and where in the world. What things they have, people, what sacrifices they have made. If we hear the stories of people who come for Hajj, their whole life savings, how they came, what sacrifices they made, all these are clear, clear signs. And all, till just before Namaz starts, before the Muazzin gives the Iqama, and when the Imam says, Saffu Sufufakum, we'll find that many people are talking, sitting around, but as soon as he says, Allahu Akbar, then there's complete silence. If there are 4 million people in the haram at any given time, at least 1 million are women. And women are such that all are talking all the time. There is no one listening, all are just talking. But the one Imam says, Allahu Akbar, and they also silent at that time. The miracles of the Kaaba are clear, clear, clear. And the people are sitting all around. But the Imam says, Saffu Sufufakum, straighten yourselves, and we see the safs made. And we see like how many aerial view pictures are taken, etc. And you see the safs around that are made. In that, what barakat there is at the Kaaba Sharif, in the Haram Sharif, and it is for everyone. And clear, clear signs of Allah's Qudrat. How many people who just accepted Islam, they went there, people who just got in somehow. Now, unfortunately, it's a different story when non-Muslims are openly also allowed to go. But before, when they should go and illegally, but what they saw, they came out legal. They became Muslims when they came. They went in illegal, they came out legal, for they became legalized there. This is the Kaaba Sharif. And how many of us go and we come out without anything? And Allah's rahmat is pouring down. We can't imagine how much of Allah's rahmat at this moment, at all times it is pouring down, especially at the Haram of Mecca, the Kaaba Sharif, and Rozai Mubarak. Allah's rahmat is pouring down all the time. If we go prepared, yeah, we don't open our hearts for Kaaba Sharif. We go there, if we go there also with closed hearts, we will be there right at the Kaaba. We will go to Multazam. We will put our bosom, our chest to Multazam, but still it will be closed. And if it's open, then yeah, we can be thousands of miles away. Yeah, also we'll get the full benefit of the Kaaba Sharif. So the clear, clear signs for everyone in the world. Now when the scorbut was, one non-Muslim of America, when he saw that the protocols, they in the Kaaba also no tawaf, no namaz, he appealed that, he said that place must carry on. A non-Muslim, he says, because that if that carries on, the system of the world will carry on. And if that stops, the system of the world will go haywire. Fihi ayatum bayyinat maqamu Ibrahim. Then? وَمَنْ دَخَلَهُ كَانَ آمِنًا. And it is such that whoever enters it will find peace. One is, you'll just find solace and peace. And this is according to the level of our iman. How much iman we have got, the minute you enter the Kaaba, you just find peace. And this is every masjid. If we don't find a difference for our 1 foot out of the masjid, the left foot is still out, and the right foot comes in, and we don't find peace in the masjid, either something wrong with that masjid, or either something wrong with us. The masajid have got that peace, the same what Allah has given the Haram of Mecca, it is spread to all the masajid in the world. And if we don't feel any difference, we are not reading the dua also. That opens our heart, and no dua also. And we are talking with friends, and we are laughing, as though we are just entering any other place. This is such a special place, the house of Allah. In fact, for the moment we made our wuzu at home preferably, and now we are still in the house, already that comes to me, I'm going to Allah's house. I'm going to make ziyarat of Allah's house. And there I'll make ziyarat of Allah also. When you go to a house, then the house is not, the makan is not the valuable thing, the makin. Yeah, the makan is also, the place also is so valuable, and the makin, Allah is everywhere. His special focus are on his houses. And whoever comes here gets their full share. And if we don't feel any difference after namaz, we don't feel any difference after we leave the masjid, we have to check our iman. That why aren't we feeling any different? If it's winter and it's cold, but you go to a masjid, they've got a heating system. You immediately feel the heating system. It's a hot place, hot day. Outside you are sweating, but you come in the masjid, the air cons are on, you feel it. Why don't we feel the imani thing? And when we go into the shopping malls, we go airports, why don't we feel the anti-imani environment? And when we come in the masjid, why don't we feel the imani environment? It depends if iman is in our heart. And if iman is not there, and other things are, when we go to shopping malls, we feel happy and nice. When we go to the airports, we feel this is where I belong. With all this environment here, the music playing, men and women walking around, people are dressed so badly, people are totally unmindful of Allah. If we feel nice in that place, it's a terrible sign. And in the house of Allah, we don't feel somebody is making tilawat. So, when the heart of Hinda could move, when she was such a strong enemy of Islam, and it doesn't move our heart. people are making namaz, somebody in ruku, somebody in sajda, somebody in dua, his hands are lifted up, somebody in tilawat, and that doesn't move us, we have to be very worried of our iman. No matter, we can be big, big maulanas and big, big sheikhs also, and big, big huffaz and qurra and that also, but if this doesn't have any effect on us, then we have to check ourselves, our iman. And we have to be very worried what will happen to us in the qabr. When this is the case, then Allah in His mercy and His kindness, He said, come and visit the house. That is the literal meaning of Hajj. To make niyat to go to visit the house of Allah. When they, all this barakat are filled there, all this goodness is there, then it was Allah who is all merciful, all mercy, all kindness. So He made it for us. You must come here. And then Allah's mercy more in istata ilayhi sabila. If you have the means. And if you don't have the means, you can make your, which is not your faraz hajj, that is separate. But your hajj you can make every time you go to your masjid. You can get your hajj in your ishraq and ishraq namaz in the morning. But the sawab you can get, and you focus to Kaaba Sharif wherever you are, especially when you go to your masajid, you can get. But those who have the means, they must come. And if they don't go, Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam said, then Allah does not care whether he dies as a Jew or as a Christian. If he has the means and he doesn't go for Hajj. So it is filled with great, great reward and only for of goodness for us. And then it has been made such that all, whatever your dressing is, even your Islamic dressing, put it one side. Now you'll be in a haram there. And all the king and the street sweeper, everyone in the same dressing. And this is the great miracle of Islam that brought this about. And when you stand in namaz, you will stand maybe somebody who is somebody extremely wealthy. On the other side, somebody who is very poor, all in one sub. One side will be a great alim. On the other side will be a complete jahil. But all are the same. One side will be a black man. One side will be a white man. All are together. And this is that equality which Allah has brought. And this great, great, this great manifestation of what Islam and the Muslims are. If Islam and if we were Muslims and Islam was in our life, this is the place. And this will be a means of hidayat for all of mankind. And for us, our hidayat will increase. So if we go for Hajj properly, then when we went, we did not have beards, for example. We did not have Islamic dress. We were not making our namaz. But when we return with full sunnat beard. That is a clear sign your Hajj was accepted. You come back now with proper Islamic dress. And now you come with worry of deen. You went with a worry of dunya. You went with the worry of your health. I'll drink zamzam to get health. But you made your Hajj properly, you get the zamzam will give you your spiritual shifa. And when you got your spiritual shifa, your physical shifa also you get. Your monetary shifa also you get. Your domestic shifa also you get. Everything you get. So Allah was so kind, He made it for us. And now when you are at the Kaaba, and you are engaged in the ibadat of Allah, and your heart is now just not melting, it's given away to the Kaaba, and you are drinking zamzam, with all that now, Allah says, leave everything and go away to Mina now. And Allah wants to bless you with something even more greater. You were a very rich man. How many properties you had? How much investments you had? But when you went, you were allowed 2 bags. You went with 2 bags. At the most 3, 4 bags, whatever. You paid the extra, but you took your few bags of your clothing. And you leave all that in Makkah, and Makkah Sharif. And now you go to Mina with just an overnight bag. With just a few little things. And from there, the next day, you go to Arafat, and there with nothing. Hey, now you are there, and that is the greatest day when Allah is become so joyous. These people, even in today's time, they have sacrificed their homes, their occupations, everything. They have come on my call. I told them to come, and all came labbaik, Allah, and they're saying labbaik, Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ وَالنَّعْمَةَ لَكْ وَالْمُلْكُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَكْ. But if we have to prepare for Hajj also. Otherwise the Haji just says it a few times. Just when he makes his niyat, he says it, and afterwards you hardly hear. So much you have to remind the Hajis to read Labbaik again. And Labbaik must be on the tongue all the time. And then again, it's not just the words, but that feeling, I'm present here. Oh Allah, you call me, I'm here for you. Oh Allah, everything of mine is sacrificed for you. And the whole Labbaik is filled with Tawheed and the oneness of Allah Ta'ala also. So if we do it in that way, and now we are in Arafat, what a great, great. And then Allah says, now you must be fully just obeying my command. Just what I want you to do, that you have to do. So don't make Maghrib namaz also on that night in Arafat. That night, Maghrib namaz is farz. And that you're a person, you're a big, big mufti, a big sheikh. Not only topi, but you wear amama also all the time. And a big amama also. But there, no topi is allowed also. Now walk around amongst the people. If you are sitting, you are feeling hot, your topi was down. Somebody comes quickly, you put your topi on. And it's not for us to cover your head, but you quickly you put your topi on. There, you can't wear your topi. You're not allowed to wear your topi. No amama, no nothing. There you are just all equal in front of Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala. So Allah made it. Now you go to Musdalifa at night. And Musdalifa, you forget all your 10-star bathroom and bedroom you got at home. Or even in your hotel in Makkah, yeah, you are just in the open all the time. Toilet also, you just do it in the open there. And there you spend the night just under the sky. And when you have proven you can do it there, you're in Mina, Arafat, Musdalifa, back to Mina, 5 days of Hajj, your whole life you can live so simply also. You could live without all your luxuries and all your comfort, and you live still. You didn't die, you didn't get worn out, you didn't get finished. You lived, so you can live your whole life. So change your life when you come back now. At least some level you should come down after Hajj. Not after Hajj that now you go to a higher level. No, you should come down to some level, come to some simplicity. Now you are there in Musdalifa, and then you go to Mina, and you felt the shaitan there. The first day, you felt the shaitan. Then there also is not a matter of just pelting with your little stones, but really the symbolic, that is only the outward. But you determine, I'll never listen to you. In front of everyone, you are throwing stones, you are showing your hatred for shaitan. Now in your whole life, it must not be in you. And wherever shaitan came in the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam when he was going to slaughter Ismail alayhi salam, then you slaughter, pelt all three shayateen also. And this must be in your life, all this must be. So this wonderful journey of Hajj has got, if we prepare and we make a spiritual Hajj. Otherwise, like one Buzurg asked somebody that when you made kiss the Hajar, did you kiss the Hajar Aswad? Many people are very keen and they do it. He said, yes, I did. Did you shake hands with Allah at that time? He said, no, I didn't. He asked him, when you make tawaf, did you make tawaf around Allah? Did you feel the presence of Allah? No, I did not. Then he asked, where did you go? Did you go to Makkah? Or did you go to Paris and London? Or you went to Dubai and China? Where did you go for Hajj? If you didn't find all this, then you did not go there. You were somewhere else. If we are there and our interest is in the soccer all the time, and in the cricket and the politics, which party won and who's making coalition, and that is your worry when you are there also, then what Hajj did you make? you'd want in Makkah Sharif, you want in Madinah Sharif. So the proper Hajj. And then finally when a person makes the tawaf, his final tawaf, then the Kaaba Sharif puts a stamp on you. Not only a stamp in your passport when you pass immigration, that exit from here, but a stamp how you spend your time. If you spend your time correctly, a stamp of righteousness and piousness is put on your heart. And if we were unmindful, we were not even at the Kaaba or anything, then this is the condition we come with back from there. And then we come back, still no namaz in our lives. Still no, when we talk also, we talk of all the hotels, we talk of all the badness of the, na'uz billah, the badness of the people of Makkah Sharif and Madinah Sharif, taxi drivers like that, the hotel people are like that, the shopkeepers are like that, that we talk about. All the dunya things, we open our bags, then all dunya things from Dubai are in the bag. All the things of China are in the bag. And Makkah Sharif thing, not a bit in our heart. Our heart is still just as black as it is. Nothing of Makkah Sharif. So it is very important that we prepare also. And then this great, great institution of Hajj. And it is in a form, it is the completion of the iman of a person. The first, the last, so to say, final. But unfortunately, our iman is still so weak, so weak. And we have all the greatest opportunities for ourselves, for the people of the world. Then on the 10th of Zulhijjah, the day of Qurbani starts. And this day and Qurbani was so important that Allah took qasam of this day, of the fajr of that day. Now a great ibadat of Qurbani. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam declared that during the days of Qurbani, the 10th, the 11th, the 12th till Asr, Allah loves no other act more than Qurbani. And so Allah just loves the Qurbani. And the Qurbani, as we read, don't make niyat of eating the meat only. The Qurbani must be for a sacrifice for Allah Ta'ala. And like zakat also is not really a matter of seeing to the poor. It is a tazkiyah. خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَحِّرُهُمْ بِهَا. That it gives you tazkiyah. It makes the tazkiyah, the purification of the heart. Qurbani also, لَنْ يَنَالُ اللَّهُ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا. Allah doesn't want the meat, He doesn't want the blood. وَلَكِي يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. This Qurbani must bring taqwa into us. So when we make this Qurbani, the Sahaba asked, مَا هَذِهِ الْأَضَاحِي يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. What is this Qurbani all about? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Sunnatu Abikum Ibrahim. What a great thing. What a great thing. The great Khalil or the friend of Allah. It is his sunnat. And what a sunnat also. That he, Allah commanded him. And he told his son of the command, Ya Bunayya, Inni Ara fil Manam, Anni Azbahuka. Oh my beloved son, young boy, round about 9-10 years, round about there. And a father of between 80 and 90, 86 years, whatever age. And he's telling his son, Allah has commanded me to slaughter you. And he was taking his imtihan to see that whether he, a 9 boy, how much is his iman made. We go for Hajj, our iman is not made. We come from Hajj, our iman is made. We have died and our iman is not. وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. We must only die when we have totally surrendered to Allah. And all Allah's commands are fully, no love of the dunya, no love of my house and my bedroom and my bathroom, no love of holidays and Western way of life and Western culture, love of Allah, love of His Rasul, love of Makkah Sharif, love of Medina Sharif must saturate the heart, must overflow from the heart. That is what was supposed to be. So when Ibrahim alayhi salam tested his son, and to see, and what was he say? Immediately say, Ya Buddha, Ya Batif Alma to Umar. What Allah has commanded you, my father, do it. I'm ready. You slaughter me. I'm ready for it. You slaughter me, my father. Dr. Iqbal, the famous poet and philosopher, he says, Was it the blood of the father, the semen, that made this boy to give such an answer, or was it the milk of the mother? And the reality it is, it was both the mother. So here we learn how we should make tarbiyat of our children. Our children also must be, as small as they are, talks of iman must be on their tongue. Today, for their cell phone, how they scream, they bring down the ceiling, they want their cell phone. Not long ago, in India, one place, a 9-year-old boy committed suicide when they took away his phone. And these are all common things which are happening. Dunya's love, children for their toys, how they will fight, and how they will carry on, because it's not the children's fault. They came alal fitra. They came with a clean plate. It is what we as the parents we made out of them. We didn't pay. We were worried of shoes for them. We worried of the laces of the shoes. We were worried that the toes are not pressing, the shoe is not too tight. But we were never worried of the iman and the Islam. And we gave preference to all. We say, I mean, to give my children the best education, and our heads are so upside down, where they are screwed upside down on our head, we give them the worst education. We send them to missionary schools. We send them where they learn Darwin's theory, where their parents are of monkeys. That we teach. All that we give them. Which direction are we going? But so this, when Ibrahim, how was the son brought up? The young boy, how was he brought up? And then Allah, another great lesson. Allah commands us with the most heaviest and difficult things, and accepts the most easiest and the simplest. Allah Himself changed when the whole world, the system, unseen system, the malaika, so to say, the world came to a standstill. What's happening? Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah's Khalil, going to slaughter his son Ismail. The malaika also, all like same gay. They couldn't breathe. Nobody was breathing. No, what's happening here? And then Allah sent a ram in its place. So where the son of Ismail alayhi salam, and he's known as Zabihullah forever. He's not Zabihullah, but he's given the title Zabihullah, and he's counted that he was slaughtered for Allah, and that his father slaughtered him for Allah's sake. He's counted, but what did Allah do? Send a ram down. So Allah commands us with the heaviest thing, but He accepts so easy from us. He wants to see that spirit. Walaki yanaluhu taq. You must be ready that I'm prepared to sacrifice everything for Allah. Allah said that uzkurullah zikran kathira. Make Allah's great in zikr in great abundance. Together with that lot of zikr, wasabbihuhu bukratan wa asila. And read tasbih, make zikr also, read tasbih also, all the time. And then what is Allah satisfied with? Remember me for a little while between after asr and fajr, and I will suffice you for the rest of the time. And that little while after asr and fajr seems to be tasbihat-e fatmi. And how long it takes to read tasbihat-e fatmi? So Allah commands us with the heaviest, and He takes the lightest. Allah commanded us that sacrifice all your wealth for me. And Allah took only 2.5%. Allah didn't take 5%, 10%, 40, 80%, 90%, 95%. Allah said, 97.5% you keep, what I gave you. It's not your earning. You only give to, and not to me, for your own. And the best to spend your zakat also on your family members who are eligible. Start with your own family people, and then your close people, your town people, and then the people who are close to you, you spend it on them. And Allah said that you spend it for me. When you make love to your wife, then a legal wife which Allah has given you, Allah writes that love in His account, that you had made love to Allah Ta'ala. When you show goodness to the people that you have to show goodness to, Allah says, you did it for me, I write it in my account, and I reward you for that. So this Qurbani is another. Let us not spoil the Qurbani with our videos and cameras and the music and the mixing of man and woman. Whether it we go to some farm and we make Qurbani, and all the man, woman, family, people all mixed up, or at home, we're eating time. How many good people who go in Jamaat, who come in Khanqah, everything. But on that day they say the whole family must sit together at the table. They sit at the table. Not even Sunnah Tariqah. And then the woman, they make them, give them such a, just a concession, they can sit one side. And anyone who has got little consciousness, now she has to eat with her niqab on. And all the time eating under. Rather let them sit separately where they can eat freely. No niqab there. Women are just all women. Why mix them all up? And now to they feel so shy, they must ask for something. She can't speak also. And she'll have to stay away, stay deprived of that. She wanted that so, she wanted that. But now the other people, she doesn't want to. So keep Allah's commands in order. Don't break the laws of Allah Ta'ala. A great ibadat of Qurbani Allah has given us. And we destroy all, if not the actual Qurbani we don't destroy, all its barakat, anwarat, all its goodness, which was supposed to accrue to us, we destroy it by breaking Allah's laws. So, and just for what our ama, and this is also, are we doing it, our qurbani, for Allah's pleasure? If we did it for Allah's pleasure, it's recorded by Allah. And you'll get the rewards perpetually by Allah Ta'ala forever. And if we did it to show people, then we'll want to keep the records of it. Take the photos that this year's qurbani we made here. This is what the, how our goat was looking, our sheep, big animal like this. And we take the photos and we destroy all the sawabs. Also one great thing for this, Friday will be the 29th. We don't know if it's 29 or 30 of Zulqa'dah. So by 29, before Maghrib, let us remove any of the hair of our body, nails that we have to cut, etc. So that we can have fulfilled that great sunnat also. And we can resemble and be similar to the hajis that we also are in a small ihram, so to say. So let us benefit from this great occasion. It's only once a year it comes, and it's a great occasion. Qurbani, even if it's not wajib on a person, but he can afford it, then make the qurbani and take part personally in it. Take the full benefit, not just having somebody else do it, not sending it away to another country. If we want to, our nafal qurbani we can send away, but our faras, make it with our own hand. Otherwise, there are so many people, even there in Makkah Sharif, there's one bus load of people. Once we were traveling, those days were still when traveling by bus, and we came to one of the stops by a garage, and there was somebody who was selling goats. So people bought and booked the animal and all, booked everything. Next bus came, the same animals, he sold it to them again. The third bus came, the same animals, he sold it to them also. And unfortunately, this is carrying on all the time. How many Hajj agents, they book so many people on the same flight. And then where they are gone, they gone to Hollywood with all that money. And these poor people, they don't know where to go, what to do, who to phone, who to ask. Nothing was booked. Allah save us from all that. So Allah Ta'ala, let us make our Hajj properly in the correct way and get the full benefit of it, and take that. It won't come again. It's only once in a year that we have got. The 10 days of Zulhijjah, the 3 days of Qurbani, the first roughly 13, 14 days, 15 days of Zulhijjah, very, very valuable. And the 5 days of Hajj, how valuable. And it's valuable, but if we put the value in it, otherwise we will come out valueless. We went into a very valuable time, into a very valuable place, and we come back without any value. If we come back full of that value, we will be valuable. And it will be seen in the world how valuable we are. But if we don't, just little bit from our side, nothing beyond our capacity, and what we are not taxed, la yukallifu Allah nafsan illa wus'aha. Nothing more than what we have to do. Whether we coming for our 5 times namaz, just to open our heart for the Kaaba, we don't do that also. And we deprive ourselves. And everyone can do it. It's not difficult. And when we go to airports and shopping and places where there are women, music, that, close your heart there. Close the shutters of your heart. Yeah, open the shutters of your heart. We do opposite. When we come to the masjid, the shutters of the heart are closed to Allah's rahmat. Still we got dunya in our heart when we make our whole namaz. And when we go to the airport, there we open. And our eyes are looking around everyone and everything we notice there. Allah Ta'ala guide us to righteousness. And for that we have to keep on coming to majalis where these talks take place, where we can be reminded. And also with an open heart so it can enter our hearts. Not just knocking on the shutters. And as soon as we are up from here, hardly up, and everything is forgotten. We didn't allow it to come in the heart. We just kept it on the outside of the heart all the time. How can we ever benefit like that? We can spend our lives, not one life, 100 lifetimes in a khanqa, but if that is our condition, we take no benefit whatsoever. Allah give us tawfiq, Allah accept, inshallah.